minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good. What is it? Thursday morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron. I had a busy show today. Very busy lineup. We've got UNC head football coach Ed Lamb going to join us in about 7, 8, 9 minutes or so. Looking forward to that conversation. I think that there's a lot of positives you can take from UNC's game over the weekend against Idaho State. It does seem like that offense is moving a little bit better. Run game seems like that's becoming a positive point for them. The offensive line's growing, so we'll talk to Ed Lamb about that. They got a home game coming up against Weber State. Feel like a winnable game, maybe? I mean, Weber State's usually a powerhouse in the Big Sky, but perhaps a weird year for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, UNC is very capable of competing in the Big Sky this year. I know that's been the message they've been putting out, is that they want to compete in every game. So it's just the next test now. You've played in a Big Sky game. You got the feel for it. Didn't get the result you wanted, but now you're at home.
Get us talking about you, UNC. That's what we need to do. Because we're talking about the other stuff like crazy. There's a lot of good things going on. You know, Colorado has another big test coming up against USC. 4 million. Did you see Barstool? There's Barstool everywhere, apparently. There's like Barstool USC, and they posted
every school has one.
I don't even know how that works. Does Barstool just pay? Like ESPN Plus almost?
Kind of. Because there's like Barstool Rams, Barstool Buffs, Barstool Trojans.
It's a lot of Barstools. Mm-hmm. So Barstool Trojans posted a picture of Caleb Williams riding a bison. Bison. But the sign in the background was Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm. Nobody ever said Californians were smart.
I love the response, too. It was like a lot of people were like, well, hey, if Caleb Williams is riding a bison around in Wyoming, then the Buffs have a freaking shot in this game. Absolutely. Just like do your work. You're going to post something like that. Just all you got to do is not have that sign in the background.
Yeah, you got Buffalo, cow, and Cowboys.
I'm telling
Yellowstone.
You.
It's totally the same place.
Yeah, Californians are just like,
yeah, it's mountain and prairie.
Everything,
yeah, it's all the same.
East of California is just whatever. They don't know. They just east, right? Yeah. They just like throw things out. It's like a quick little check here. Hey, is Google Yellowstone? Just Google Yellowstone.
They're all plugged into the internet over there and they can't figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, in this day and age, there's no excuse for that. Because obviously
maybe they asked an AI to make that.
Maybe. I mean, obviously it takes work to do something like that. If you're going to take the time to do to put together that graphic, maybe just, you know, a quick Google. Is Yellowstone in Colorado? Is Yellowstone near Boulder? No. Anyway. Gonna be a lot of celebrities there. Sounds like this week. Snoop Dogg is gonna be there, Angel. How about that? There to support USC. Somebody actually came up with the list of who's there for what reason and who they're supporting. All right. Cool. Whatever. I got my tight-knit brewing poll question of the day available at theholeshow.com. All right, take your Nuggets fandom hat off here, Angel. Better duo, Jokic and Murray, or Giannis and Dame?
Jokic and Murray.
I think as a duo, yes. Is Damian Lillard better than Jamal Murray? I believe, yes, he is. But as a duo, and we don't know yet what the duo is going to look like. But just, again, on paper, pairing these guys together, Joker's better than Giannis. Dame's better than Murray. But Joker and Murray have that game. They have that two-man game that we don't really see a lot in the NBA anymore.
Yeah, and you know, you're seeing a lot of comparisons. Like, oh, now Milwaukee has their duo with the big man, little man duo. And it's, yeah, that's great, but Giannis doesn't do the things that Jokic does.
I think he wants to do the things that Jokic does.
Can you?
I think he wants to play above that three-point line a lot like Nikola Jokic does. Because the conventional pick and roll is point guard has the ball at the top of the key, big man sets the screen, and big man rolls to the basket with point guard. Point guard has the option of a quick pass to your big man, you take it to the hole, dish it out for three. That's a conventional pick and roll. That's the pick and roll. at its core. What the Nuggets have done, they have created so many different avenues for a pick and roll that it's a lot of times it's Joker at the top of the key, hand off to Jamal Murray. Murray dribbles around. Joker rolls back around, sets a screen. Joker can decide whether to pop out or go down, or quick handoff from Murray to Joker after the screen. And then Murray sets the screen, and you've got a lot of options. You can take that over to the corners. We've seen Joker and Murray do that so much. So if I were Milwaukee, who's Milwaukee's new coach? Blanking out. But if I were him,
Adrian Griffin.
If I'm him, I'm watching a lot of that film. And I'm saying, hey, Giannis and Dame, this is what I think we can do. Because I think it's possible. I think Giannis can be a similar player. He won't have the he doesn't have the passing ability. And that's, again, why the two-man game works so well. Is because you key in on those two guys, and Joker is the best passer in the NBA. So he has three other guys on the floor that he can get creative with and try to find while they're focused on these screens happening at the top of the key.
I think also part of it that works is Jamal is so selfless with the ball.
True.
I don't know if Damian is that selfless.
I don't know. He's had to not be.
And the Nuggets, as we've talked about, they've grown their superstars from within. They haven't brought in another superstar to pair with their superstars to see if it works. So, you know, it's a chemistry thing as well that the Nuggets have years advance on.
They've been building this for several years. And even when Jamal Murray was out for that season and a half or whatever, they were able to pick up throughout the course of last year. This is why I'm so excited for this year. Fully healthy Jamal coming in. No rust, none of that stuff. Media day is Monday. Angel, you're going to load up and go. It's going to be Brady and Angel's day out. How about that?
I think so.
Well, we got to make sure that
Micah will wake up early.
If Micah can get up before, you know, 10 o'clock, typically. You know, he's a 10 o'clock kind of guy. Mm-hmm. So if he can get up early, fill in for you in the morning show, we'll be down in Denver. And you'll love it. It's a really cool experience. And I'm just curious to get the last year it was all, you know, the Nuggets are still the Nuggets. They're going to goof around a little bit in those things. But I'm curious to see if that's changed at all. If there's a championship feel inside Ball Arena when we walk in. If you just feel that.
I think there's a sense of pressure, sense of, you know, unknown. You know, a different unknown from last year because we're dealing with so many health concerns and what our bench was going to look like ultimately and how were these guys going to reintegrate themselves. This year, it's all right. You did something awesome last year. Let's go do it again.
13 minutes after the hour. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. We're expecting UNC head football coach Ed Lamb to join us in a few moments. So let's take a break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk and Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Matt Gaeter, color commentator for UNC Bears football and former UNC offensive lineman. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Nineteen after the hour, first hour here of The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Efforting, we don't have UNC head coach Ed Lamb. Okay. All right, we'll see what happens. UNC's getting set to take on Weber State. And what's interesting about Weber State is they got smoked by Montana State. Former Wyoming quarterback there, Sean Chambers, goes off. But Weber State against Utah, Angel, it was 17-7 at halftime against one of the best teams in the country. So you kind of look at that and go, huh, they hung in for a little bit. Now, Utah came out second half, scored 14 in the third quarter, and that was pretty much it. They win 31-7. So, interesting. 20 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Tight-knit Brewing poll question of the day. We'll go back to it. Better duo. Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic or Damian Lillard and Giannis. Now, that's the big talk here. Angel, while we're here, we didn't get to this early. We broke early to try to get Coach Lamb on. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com. Let's see, /KFK, fmsbank.com/KFK. The good for me, Henry Blackburn and Travis Hunter apparently met up, and it's all good. Shaking hands, bro hug, all of that. Great move by both of these young men. There was a lot of nastiness that came after that Rocky Mountain showdown. And I have a lot of respect for Henry. I know Henry. Travis Hunter, I've never talked to. But seeing the video that he put out, the fact that he was willing to meet up and make it good and film that so all these haters could see it, I gotta say, man, I'm really impressed with Travis Hunter. He stepped out before primetime and did his video in his dorm room, it looked like, and or wherever he was, and he was quick to say, no, that's football. Stuff like that's gonna happen. I was told that the two of them talked even before that, before they met up, and it was good, so they must have arranged the time to meet up, and whoever had that idea to say, let's film it, yeah, that's a great idea. Because he was getting death threats, Henry was. So good on Travis Hunter, a kid having more human characteristics than what we were seeing with some of these nasty tweets going at Henry Blackburn. Good on Travis Hunter. That's my good. The bad, Magic Johnson. He says the Bucks are the favorite to win the NBA title. Then did he say Phoenix next? Or did he say the Lakers? Either way, he's got Phoenix at 1 or 2, or 3 or 4, or 2, or 3, there we go, and LA. You might, correct me if I'm wrong, Denver swept the Lakers last year, is that right?
Yep.
They swept them. Lakers didn't even get one win in that series. The Denver Nuggets beat Phoenix in 6, winning the last 2 in a row, is that right? Mm-hmm. But yet, both Phoenix and again, I know Phoenix made some moves. I know a couple of these teams made some interesting moves. Milwaukee made the move. You look at what Phoenix did in the offseason. Yeah, they went out and they got themselves another good player in Bradley Beal. Does that put them over the edge? Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant. Are there enough basketballs in Phoenix? That's the question. That's my bad. The ugly? Yeah. Rockies hit 101. They got 101. And a few more games to go. Ugh. I'm ready for them to be done, and then we get on to the MLB playoffs and just wipe this memory away. What a terrible season for the Colorado Rockies. And they still have the Dodgers. They still have a game against the Dodgers coming up tonight at 6:40. And then they finish up their final series of the season is against Minnesota. So the Rockies could potentially lose 102, 103, 104, 105. 105. Well, they hit the 100 mark. Do you think Dick Monfort's going to come out and say anything about that? About hitting 100-plus losses?
I think so.
I don't remember. What was Dick Monfort's prediction this season? That they'd be about a 500 team? Was that kind of his thought?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was it. And they are sitting at 57 and 101. Boy, that you can't even say that. It's a tongue twister. 57 and 101. And the Rockies are one of the worst teams in baseball. And I know Tanner and Bruce and those guys are talking about some of the bright spots for this team. Nolan Jones can throw anybody out from anywhere. He could be in Yellowstone and throw a guy out in Boulder, probably. He has that good of an outfield arm. But give me some other things, Angel. What else are we going? Oh, they're putting it together. They're gonna bounce back. There's just not. I mean, like I said, Tovar is good. Slowed down, though, since, July. Nolan Jones, good defensive player. What else? pitching, they got a lot of young pitching prospects, but we're not going to really see that take hold for a bit. So I'm not sitting here saying that you should be optimistic that the same thing doesn't happen next year. Now, 100 losses is a feat. That's tough to do. They got to be better than 100. Better than 100 losses next year, Angel?
I don't know.
It's going to be the same team.
As long as Monfort has this mentality, it's going to be the same. Until he steps out and says it's a rebuild or it's not, we are stuck with bad, bad baseball.
Yeah. Good luck with that. McLean says, this is the first time that Jokic is widely considered the best player in the NBA going into the season. Finally getting his respect. You don't think he's getting his respect?
Not anymore.
What do you mean?
They've already written the Nuggets off. They're done.
But I'm already seeing that Joker is the top of the chain.
Well, yeah, the polls will tell you that. The odds makers will tell you that. But the feeling around the league and the feeling in the media is giving is, oh, the Nuggets, that was a fluke. Yeah, that was cool, but they're not going to do that again. What Milwaukee just did? You see what Phoenix just did?
Yeah, you got Magic Johnson making his picks, and you're hearing a lot of that it's Milwaukee and Phoenix.
We talked about what's the mentality for the Nuggets this year. It's that you're being doubted.
You're still an underdog. MPJ came out and said, I'm glad Milwaukee got Damian Lillard. Well, that'll be fun to see them in the finals. Good move, bad move by MPJ.
Good.
Yeah?
Be confident.
Yeah, I don't have any issues
with
it.
You could be... Yeah, okay, well, we'll see what happens. Or, yeah, we will look forward to the finals. Either way, it's the narrative you set early in the year that's going to change in March, April, May. So,
is there any concern about Nikola Jokic?
In what way?
You know, partying a lot?
No.
Not coming back ready?
No.
No concern in your mind at all?
No.
I'll admit, there's just a little part in the back of my brain that's like, is he going to be ready to turn it all back on? Because I think it's clear. Now, I don't know what he does when the cameras are off, but I've heard from his players, from MPJ especially, that he's amazed that Nikola Jokic can not really pick up a basketball. Once the season's over, he doesn't really touch a basketball until like a week or two before training camp starts, which is next week. This year, you have to wonder, was that even more so? Or was it... Was the Joker just full on in absolute like heaven being away from basketball? I know he loves basketball. But yeah, there's a slight portion in my head that goes, how are the first 10 games going to look for the Joker? Does he get right back into the mix? Get right back into triple-double mode?
They need to look a certain way. Just do Jokic things. I don't need to see 50-50-50 in the first 10 games, but...
But we've seen guys before win championships and come back and they just don't look as good in any sport.
Sure, but I mean the way Jokic plays, he doesn't overstress himself.
He doesn't do
a lot of stuff that's like technically like a lot of muscle memory. Like, oh, I got to work this drill every single day for the next week or so I can get it ingrained. It's a lot of just I've been doing this since I was 6 years old. I know how to make these crazy passes.
I hope that in the first 10 games, it's just like we're on triple-double watch again, and it's just like, wow, Joker really can be that guy that can shut off basketball and go right back into it.
10, 12, 15 triple-double, which you'd probably be fine with.
What is he on the list now? Is he fifth on the list? I want to see if he has, like, does he have potential? How much can he climb this year?
He is tied for fifth. Or no, he's at six with 105. If he gets to 108, he'll pass Jason Kidd and LeBron James. He needs 139 to pass Magic Johnson, 182 to pass Robertson, and 200 to pass Westbrook.
How many did he have last year?
30-something.
So he'll pass Jason Kidd. He'll pass him up, probably, like you said, in that first 10 games.
He had 29.
29? Okay, so let's just assume he's going to get 30 again? So 30 would get him up into that Magic Johnson spot. Just 30 would put him at 135. He's going to pass Magic Johnson because he, you know, in two seasons. If not this season, he'll pass Magic Johnson for sure in two seasons. So he's going to move up. Now, again, LeBron's still playing. He's at 107. So he can still kind of, but Joker's going to have more triple-doubles than LeBron. It's going to take him how many more seasons? It's going to take him two seasons probably to pass Oscar Robinson. Robertson, excuse me, if, assuming he does the 30. And then what, he could do this. Does he have 4 years left on his contract?
I think so.
Or is it five? Yeah, there's a real possibility that when it's all said and done, Nikola Jokic retires as the top triple-double guy. And then really, it's nobody's really that close out after Nikola Jokic. You know, it's all these other guys that are in the hundreds. Like Magic Johnson, Robertson, and Westbrook are feel like they're untouchable. But honestly, if you get 30 a season, that's three seasons.
What does Westbrook get in the next few years?
He's not going to get 30. I don't think so. I don't even know how many
he
had
get
last
to 200
year.
And then that'd be it.
All right. Well, big things hopefully coming up for this Denver Nuggets team. We're going to find out a little bit more about that team on Monday. Looking forward to that. I try to go down there every year. 31 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle coming up next from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And it's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
One of my favorite times of the week when we bring on the, and I stress that, the Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and we'll be doing Rams Weekly today as well, coming up at 5 o'clock. Kevin, what's going on, my friend?
Another great fall week in Colorado, huh?
It's looking gorgeous, and it looks like it's going to be gorgeous on Saturday, man. That's going to be great with Ag Day coming up.
Perfect setup for the Ag Day and barbecue and all that. You know, I think CSU fans are excited. Ag Day is always fun regardless. Good weather. Should be a great crowd, good atmosphere. Kind of just a happy day on campus around the CSU football team. And you know, that's not a thing that's happened a ton in the last, you know, several years. So a lot of smiles around Fort Collins right now.
What do you think the turnout's going to be like on Saturday as the Rams get set to take on the Utah Tech Water Buffaloes or Thunderbirds? I don't know whatever they are. I don't know what they are. So I guess that's to my point. What's the turnout going to be like for this game?
And I think it'll be over 30,000. Ag Day pretty much always draws well, kind of regardless of how CSU is doing, generally how the opponent is, because oftentimes it is an FCS type of team. And then you combine, you know, I think fans are actually starting to feel excited about this team. So I think it'll be a good turnout, you know, the weather and good kick time factors in as well. So yeah, I think it should be a really good crowd.
When you start to talk about like a handful of guys that people are really getting behind, you know, the fanfare is there. That's when you kind of know that this team might be able to go on and make something of the season. Plus the fact that you look at Washington State and they're turning out to be a really good football team. You pair all that stuff in, people are excited about Braden Fowler-Nicolosi. They're excited about, obviously, Dallin Holker and Torrey Horton. On the defensive side, you put together a great piece about Mo Kamara. That's when you kind of know, okay, this is a good football team. We have four or five really good football players on this team.
Yeah, exactly. That's always a great sign when, you know, honestly, if you were to say who's the most popular player on the CSU football team, you know, a few years ago it was like Ryan Stonehouse by default because he was actually good and a fun person and there wasn't competition, whereas now there is. You have a lot of good personalities, you know, a number of quite good players. So yeah, I think that's a great sign of kind of the direction the program seems to be pointing right now is, you know, we could gather 50 fans and ask who their favorite is, and we'd probably have, you know, five different answers with, you know, pretty even spread on votes.
Well, and two guys specifically on the offensive side, Dallin Holker and Torrey Horton. Torrey Horton probably is the better player, but Dallin Holker's got kind of the unique story there with his wife being a D1 athlete there at Colorado State. So he's getting a lot of play, and then the fake field goal, all that stuff. So I'm not sure who people would pick right off the top. Last year it was like, yeah, Torrey Horton is the guy. But you're starting to round up. Justice Ross Simmons is a fine player, too. You're starting to round up some of these good players where you could expect some different answers from fans.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously Jack Howell would get some votes, you know, things like that. There are a lot of different guys. And, yeah, on offense particularly, you know, BFN right now has, I don't want to quite say the cult following, but the surge in excitement just because the quarterback play, you know, hasn't been great for a while, and so people are excited about him. Torrey Horton, like you say, probably has the highest NFL ceiling. Dallin Holker has made so many important plays so far. So, yeah, it's quite a group to choose from. And, you know, obviously Mo Camara on defense, you know, he was suspended for a half, has only played 2.5 games, and, you know, he's arguably been one of the best defensive players in all of college football.
Does Freddie Banks, does he consider, you know, not playing Mo in the first half, that way he has more energy and just comes out like a wild beast in the second half? Because that actually kind of worked out for CSU.
Yes, it's kind of funny. Last Wednesday, I asked Jay Norvell about that. I said, you know, I'm sure ideally you don't want Mo to be sitting for a half, but is there a way this could turn out, you know, to be a positive of you get a fresh and angry Mo for the second half, you know, to kind of help close the game? And lo and behold, a couple sacks, a touchdown, just a complete demon destroying that offense. It worked out that way. So, yeah, not how you draw it up. But it sure worked out well. I think CSU would like to pull a reverse this week, have Mo come out, have a couple sacks early in the game, be up 35 at halftime, and let Mo, you know, put on the sweatpants for the second half.
Talk to us about the running back situation, Kevin. I know you've been following this one closely, Avery Morrow and Kobe Johnson. It sounds like one guy's going to be out for a couple of weeks and the other guy's maybe questionable coming into the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I guess if you're going to have, you know, big injury problems, this is the week to have it. But yeah, Avery Morrow is out a few weeks, Jay Norvell said. He said it's an MCL injury, which, you know, probably is good news. I think a lot of us were fearing that was, you know, a very significant injury. So Avery's definitely out this week. Kobe Johnson, Jay called him day-to-day. I would be stunned if Kobe Johnson plays this week. It may be one of those where he comes out in uniform, but doesn't actually play unless they really need him. So, yeah, you're turning to an experience. Van Shield, the walk-on who kind of ran the running back room in spring for a variety of reasons, he'll probably start. And then the true freshman, Damian Henderson, will probably be behind him, I would think, get a decent number of carries.
Van Shield. I mean, we're talking about fanfare and guys you can get behind. I mean, Van Shield, Kevin, a local guy, a Colorado guy. Does he still have the? I'm looking at a picture of him right now, the mustache. I mean, this is definitely a guy that you really want to explode, because talk about selling jerseys and stuff. Van Shield. That's the guy you want.
I mean, the name, the look, the story. It is really cool. He's a Highlands Ranch kid, started at CSU Pueblo, came to Fort Collins CSU, walked on, and like I say, it was a weird variety of circumstances, but he took advantage in the spring and really, you know, did well. You know, they probably hoped they wouldn't need him, but again, needs must, and he stepped up. Yeah, he's, you know, just kind of a tank of a player, you know, got the mop of curly hair. You know, there are pictures going around of him from, you know, CSU's internal media day and the cowboy hat and everything. So it really is just a fun story of a kid that, you know, like Jay Norvell said, you know, he'll just do anything for the team. And, you know, he probably isn't like the most straight up talented player you'll ever see, but sure puts in every bit of work to be ready and be reliable. And he's going to get his chance, you know, on Ag Day. So, pretty cool story.
Well, yeah, like you said, if you're going to rest some guys and maybe not force the issue with one of these running backs with Kobe Johnson, this might be the weekend to do it. Kevin, Jay Norvell, in his history, you tell me this, I don't know, with Nevada, did they do a lot of trick plays and stuff in Nevada? Because they're pulling them out this season so far.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, we've had more in the last two weeks than the first 13 games with Jay Norvell. I actually need to look back at the Nevada history. Obviously, they scored the ball really well. I'm not sure how often they pulled these out. But it's one of those things. One, it provides, you know, new weapons and things like that. But two, players get really engaged. It's so much fun for them to do these, you know, funky things. It almost helps break the monotony of the season. And when they succeed, it creates confidence. So I know they've been working on other ones in practice to bust out at some point. But yeah, it seems like that's going to be part of it. And again, we talked about this, you know, CU week, everyone was talking about the hat and glasses comment, but the one that actually mattered was when Jay was saying, you know, we're taking the training wheels off. We're unleashing it. And these trick plays are part of that. You know, they've kind of said, you know, we're all in. We're going to do whatever it takes to light up the scoreboard. And so far it's working. That, you know, the Giles Cooler to Dallin Holker play was almost a disaster, but it turned into a great play and really could have swung the game. So they're all in with this.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I keep going back to on that fake with Giles Pooler. It did, like, it just goes over the fingertips. Now, I'm watching it on ESPN Plus, Kevin, so, I mean, I'm at the mercy of, you know, the 12-year-old running the camera. But it goes right over these fingertips. And I actually think Dallin Holker's concentration on the football was the story of that play. Obviously, turning upfield, getting in the end zone was big. But a lot of times, receivers see that a ball's about to get knocked away. Maybe they blink. Maybe they lose some focus there. But I really, Dallin Holker, I mean, time and time again, has just proven that he's the real deal.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point, the focus there. Because, yeah, I mean, one, it looks like Giles Pooler may be just sacked.
Yeah.
And then, two, when he does get the ball up, it looks like it could be deflected. And, you know, sometimes you can react too early and almost start to react to a potential tip or something like that. But, no, he stayed locked in. Ended up being a perfect throw from Pooler for his first career touchdown. Just a crazy play in a game that had a lot of weird stuff, to be honest. But that one really was hugely important. And funny thing with Dallin Holker, he has 4 touchdowns, which is incredible, in 3 games for a tight end. I remember a certain coach previously saying that, you know, you can't throw the touchdowns to a tight end because they're covered. But 3 different pass throwers have connected with Holker. He has one from Torrey Horton, one from Giles Pooler, and 2 from Braden Fowler-Nicolosi. So, you know, who's it going to be this week? I think I'm advocating for Van Shield to Dallin Holker touchdown pass.
Yeah, I just think that both of those guys are sensational. It'll be fun to see the touchdown race between Dallin Holker and Torrey Horton. Now, I had Jack Howell on his show on Tuesday, Kevin, and we were talking about Trey McBride and Dallin Holker. And obviously we know Trey McBride, second round pick, was sensational, was just on a bad team. But Jack was kind of the mindset that Trey's the more physical guy, obviously. He can block like crazy, but perhaps Dallin Holker's the better receiving tight end. Where do you come out on that?
Yeah, no, I'm with that. Yeah, I think Trey's maybe more well-rounded. Like you say, the physicality, certainly he was a ferocious blocker. But I remember Jack and I think some other defensive players, I think Aiden Hector maybe said it as well, early in camp, they said, you know, Dallin's a more refined route runner. You know, he runs really clean routes, catches the ball really well, good at boxing out. So, yeah, I think on that realm, you know, he might be a cleaner, route runner, pass catcher than Trey McBride, which, you know, again, is quite a statement. And what's really cool, those two seem to have struck up a relationship. I know they had talked in the offseason, and then there, you know, video going around from CSU of Trey McBride FaceTiming Dallin after the game Saturday. So pretty cool that, you know, Trey seems kind of all in on the Dallin Holker train as well.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Hey, I have a new idea, an idea here. Let's do rapid fire, Kevin, but it's going to be interesting about the star players on this team. So I'm not going to tell you what it is. Just be ready, okay?
Ooh, all right.
Okay, here we go. Rapid fire. I'm just going to give you a stud player for CSU, and you tell me which round, whenever they come out. You don't have to predict the year, which round they will be drafted in.
Ooh, that's a doozy. Let's go.
Yeah, we get creative here. Torrey Horton.
2.
Dallin Holker.
5.
Mo Kamara.
3-4.
Jack Howell?
Undrafted.
Who am I missing here?
Chiggy, maybe?
Okay, Chiggy.
I think he gets drafted. I'll give him a 6.
Okay, that sounds good. On all of those that you just mentioned, do you think there's, like, realistic potential for that stock to rise this season?
Yeah, let's see. You know, Torrey Horton, it's high, but I think it can and probably will continue to grow. Dallin, I mean, it's certainly growing right now. Chiggy's, that certainly can grow. You know, corner is so tough. Like, a lot of that comes down to measurables and stuff, and a lot is out of your hands, because if teams just throw away from you, you know, you can't make that many plays on ball. But I think Chiggy's one that Hal, all those guys, that secondary, I think, needs to improve. So that also means chances for their stock to rise.
Yeah, and I mean, if you see a guy like Jack or Chiggy, either one of those guys come out, put together some games where they're making big plays, you know, getting an interception or taking it to the house or just a lot of shutdown plays, who knows, that could change quickly for those guys.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, like me saying Jack undrafted, you know, I don't mean that as any knock on Jack. You know, the NFL sometimes gets overly obsessed with size metrics, and I think, he might get hurt there. But, you know, that's a guy that finds the ball. And again, I think that secondary, partially they've played really good offenses, but I think they're going to get better and make more plays. So I would expect those guys to be looking, you know, improved as the, you know, the next 4 or 5 weeks carry on.
Kevin, you got a great write-up at the Coloradoan about Mo Kamara. What else are you cooking up that we can check out before game time on Saturday?
Yeah, definitely. It's always fun to talk to Mo Kamara. He's an incredibly funny, insightful, snarky, smack-talking kid. Just a fun interview. So, yeah, that features up. I've got to look at game day, and I answer the question that you started with about who the heck is Utah Tech. So I answer that. And I'll have, you know, normally I do a keys to the game Saturday. I'm not really going to do that this week, because CSU should roll out. But I'm going to do more of, you know, things, you know, we're looking for and we're, you know, hoping to learn this week, you know, such as, you know, if it's a blowout, who's the next quarterback? How is the running game spread out? Those type of things. So, there's plenty that we can learn about this team this week.
Well, I'm looking forward to Rams Weekly coming up at 5, and we'll break into Rams coverage in a little more detail with you, Kevin. We'll talk to you soon, my man.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
11:50 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Your games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
On the Rocks Liquor sounds pretty good right about now. Stop by On the Rocks. Get your beverage of choice. Get ready for Thursday Night Football. Lions, Packers. I am actually very interested in this game tonight, but maybe stop by On the Rocks Liquor first and tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by PDC. I did it. Hadn't done it in weeks, man. Chevron. Golly. Yeah. Bummer. That's a bummer. That makes me feel bad. On the Rocks Liquor is half a mile south of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue. Green Acres, Van Shield, a.k.a. the Muscle Ram. Write it down now. Will be a household nickname in no time. But do you need a nickname when your name is Van Shield? You don't need a nickname. Van Shield, although he is pretty muscled up. The Muscle Ram. Like, Van Shield is, that's nickname enough, dude. His last name's Shield. His parents said, let's name him Van. That's perfect. I love that. I got to go back to this text, too, because Green Acres, this was a long text months ago. And I just want to go back to it. Brady, how many rebounds do you think you could snag if you played Jokic minutes in the NBA? How many rebounds do you think you'd get in an NBA game, Angel?
Probably get 2 or 3.
You think so? It just
not
falls?
Like at the rim, but, you know, like a wild shot that bounces off way to the 3-point line.
And you, like, fair catch it?
No, I mean, I was always, like, in PE or something. I was the player that would, like, sprint out of bounds to get a ball and throw it back in and dive into the bleachers. So, yeah, I'd probably get 2 or 3. A lot of turnovers, though.
Oh, yeah. So many turnovers for me. I could get some boards, though. I think I could get some boards. Get body up down there. That was a good text. That was months ago, but just made me think. 11:57, lunch rush coming up next.